Good afternoon. If you would like to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we will begin there in our lesson here this afternoon. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're looking here today in our lessons, both this morning and this afternoon, at the kind of character that God teaches that we need to be developing in order to be pleasing to Him. Given the amount of material we've covered, we're covering half of this lesson this afternoon and covered the first half this morning. But this morning we talked about some specific character traits that God teaches we are to be putting on, giving diligent effort to make a part of who we are. We touched specifically on our need to be reverent, holy, meek, humble, selfless, kind, tender-hearted, forgiving, merciful, temperate, gentle, and peaceable, beginning with our need to have the proper attitude towards God and then getting into our treatment of others. And here this afternoon, we'll look at 13 additional character traits that we'll touch on. And as we do so, when we put this together with what we noticed this morning, when we look at the complete picture, we'll get a basic portrait of the kind of person that God teaches we are to be striving to become. But the first one that we'll look at here this afternoon is this need to be steadfast. And this is the opposite side of the coin that we looked at the last on the last point this morning, as we touched on our need to be seeking peace whenever it is possible, based upon Romans 12 and verse 18. But the other side of that coin is recognizing that we should never seek peace in such a way that compromises truth, but instead we must be steadfast in the faith. And maybe the most well-known verse that touches on our need to be steadfast is there in 1 Corinthians 15, towards the very end of this book, in the 58th verse there of the chapter. The inspired Apostle Paul there, after touching in this chapter on the assurance of the resurrection and the need to not believe the false teachers who were promoting the idea that there was no resurrection, he says at the end of this chapter, he says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the Lord's work, because you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Now, as we've talked about being steadfast before, we've pointed out that there is a sense in which we are to be movable, and yet we're also to be immovable. And that sounds like a contradiction at first, but the key question for us to ask when we're considering a potential change being made is this change, is this move going to draw me closer to God, or is it going to pull me further from God? If it is something that is a change God calls upon us to make, like He called upon the Corinthian brethren to make several changes as outlined here in this letter, then that's something that we should be eager to make. We should be eager to move in that direction. But what 1 Corinthians 15:58 deals with is being immovable in terms of things, or I should say, refusing to move, refusing to change in ways that would push us away from God. And that's what this steadfastness that's called for is all about, is not compromising truth, but being steadfast in what God says is right. And something that's needed from us, if we're going to have this steadfastness, is courage. And that's a second character trait to consider here this afternoon that is closely related to the first. But as we think about courage, that's something that is going to be necessary in order for us to be steadfast in the truth, especially when being pressured by others to give in to something contrary to the will of God. There in the 16th chapter of 1 Corinthians and in verse 13, chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians and verse 13, the inspired apostle there says, "Watch, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong." And so he teaches there the need for us to have the courage, have the spiritual strength to resist temptations that come our way, to drift from the Lord in any way. And that's another key part of our character that we should be striving to develop. There's many situations in which something we know is the right thing to do may not please others. There may be others who are making fun of us for that. There may be others who are encouraging us to go down a different path, but we have to have the courage to stand for what we know is right. And something that's closely related to this idea of being steadfast and courageously standing for what's right is a third character trait to consider here this afternoon, and that is our need for patience. Over in Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, we have one verse among many that teach our need to be patient, and the way it's worded here helps us to understand how the Bible speaks of patience when it often uses that term. Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, it talks there as the Apostle Paul was writing to Christians about the kind of life that we should be living as individuals who are evidencing this transformation that we've gone through as we are presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. He says there in the 12th verse, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. When it says they're patient in tribulation, that helps us get an idea of what patience is when it's often referred to in Scripture. We might think, when we think of patience, we might think of someone who is calm when waiting on something that he or she is expecting to happen. Or we might think of our treatment of others and being calm when others are acting differently than perhaps we know that they should. And those things can be related to this theme of patience, and certainly there is a need to show patience toward others. But primarily when the Bible speaks of patience, it's really closely related to our idea of endurance and perseverance. It's about facing difficulties and trials in life and yet continually serving God faithfully even through those hardships that we go through. That's what being a patient individual in the context of Scripture is about. And so that ties in with this need to be steadfast. Specifically, we need to be steadfast when we're faced with trials and tribulations, not giving in like those who receive the seed in the stony places in Jesus' parable of the sower. But in order for us to have this steadfast, courageous, patient attitude, it is needful for us to have a fourth character trait as a key part of who we are, and that is it's needful for us to have a strong trust in the Lord. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 10, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 10. There the inspired apostle says, "For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we have set our trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe." Notice that phrase there, "we've set our trust in the living God." There's a lot of applications of this need for trust. We need to trust what God says is true. We need to trust that His commands are to be followed, and we need to prove our trust by keeping those commands. But a specific application of our need for trust is seen when we are faced with temptations or trials that can lead us, if we're not careful, to fall from the straight and narrow path. And it's important for us to trust in God, thinking about what God sees in a situation rather than what man sees, and recognizing if God be for us, who can be against us, caring more about faithfully serving Him than pleasing man. And that's something that is anchored whenever we have that trust in God that we are to have. But something that is a good follow-up to these points about being steadfast and courageous and patient, that is another teaching of Scripture about who we are to be, is that we are to be individuals who are faithful. We see in the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, one of the qualities that makes up the fruit of the Spirit that is given there in those verses is referred to in the King James Version as faith, but in the American Standard Version, New King James and English Standard, it's referred to as faithfulness. And certainly we should be strong in faith in terms of having a strong trust in God, as we just touched on. But sometimes when the Bible uses that word, it refers to this need for us to be faithful, which indicates this need for us to be dependable or to be reliable. We need to be individuals who, when the Lord looks upon us, He knows that He can depend upon us to submit to His will in whatever capacity that may be. And that faithfulness ties back in with this need for endurance and perseverance. Even if we're facing hardships in life, we should be dependable to do what's right and not be individuals who are shaky and waver contingent upon what our circumstances are. Instead, we should be people who are always faithful and dependable to the Lord regardless of what we face. And something that encourages dependability and reliability, that is another character trait we should be striving to add to our lives, is the need for honesty. We see a lot of scriptures that teach the need for honesty, but one of them is over in Ephesians chapter 4. As the inspired apostle there in Ephesians 4 speaks about putting off the old man and putting on the new man, and he speaks about several character traits that we should put on in the latter part of that chapter, he points out there in Ephesians 4:25 that we should be putting away falsehood, and he says, speak truth, each one with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. It's a very simple command given there, but that's a key part of our character, is being honest individuals, being individuals who speak the truth whenever we speak to others, and not being individuals who lie. And something that's maybe a broader principle of this need for honesty that is another character trait connected to this is our need to be sincere, our need to have a genuine faith in the Lord and not be hypocritical, but be serious and genuine and sincere in our walk with God. If you look over at Philippians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 10, we have here a prayer that the Apostle Paul makes for the Philippian brethren, and we'll touch more on this prayer a little bit later on in the lesson, but one of the things that he was praying for the Philippian brethren brought out there in verse 10 of Philippians chapter 1, says he's praying that they may approve the things that are excellent, being sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. And so you notice that word sincere there. That's something else that's a key part of what our character should be. We should be individuals whose service to God is genuine, not like the hypocritical Pharisees and other Jewish leaders of Jesus' day who did their works for reasons other than sincerely and genuinely serving God. But we should be individuals who are real and genuine in our desire and our efforts to please the Lord. And again, that's a key part of the kind of character that we are to have. But if we are sincere in our efforts and our desire to please the Lord, one of the fruits of that, that's another key element of our character, is that we are going to be repentant. And this is certainly a very important part of the kind of person that God wants us to be. If you look over in Romans chapter 2, Romans chapter 2 and in verse 5, Romans chapter 2 and in verse 5 says, but according to your hardness and unrepentant heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. The King James and American Standard have the word impenitent there, which is just another way of saying unrepentant. But the idea when we're talking about unrepentant or impenitent in this context, it's not just a failure to be sorry for some wrong that we've done. That certainly can be part of it. But it is this determination not to change our minds and change our direction in the way that God would have us to. The kind of heart and attitude that we should have is such that when we recognize something we've done wrong, number one, we shouldn't just try to brush it under the rug and act like it didn't happen. We shouldn't try to justify ourselves. We shouldn't just laugh it off and act like it's no big deal. But we should have a great eagerness to turn from that sin, making correction and doing what is needful in order to be forgiven by God. And that requires us to have this repentant heart, this sincere determination to be right with God that causes us to honestly examine ourselves. And when we see things that we need to correct, to have a great eagerness, a great desire, a great zeal to make correction where it is needed. And that great zeal that we should have for making correction leads us into our next point about the kind of character we should have. And that is that we should be zealous not only for making needed changes in our lives, but more generally we should be zealous for doing all of the things that God defines as good works. Over in Titus chapter 2, and in verse 14, it talks there about God's purpose behind, part of God's purpose behind Christ giving himself as a sacrifice for us. It points out there his intention is and was to redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good works. And we've mentioned before, when we talk about this word zealous in Scripture, it refers to passionate, but the level of passion is so strong. The Greek word zeo, that is translated as zeal or fervent in Scripture, is a word that refers to heat. It refers to boiling. And so the idea is that our passion for good works needs to be so strong that it could be said we're on fire for doing good. We're fired up about doing what the Lord says is right. That's the level of zeal and passion, the level of fervency that we need to have towards what the Lord says is right. We get a good picture of the opposite of zeal in Revelation 3, in the passage where Jesus rebuked the Laodiceans. He didn't rebuke them because they were cold. Certainly it would be wrong to be cold to the Lord, but he rebuked them because they were lukewarm in their service to God. And he told them that they needed to be zealous and repent in Revelation 3 and in verse 19. In other words, you're not hot, you're not cold, you're lukewarm, but that's not acceptable. God wants us to be zealous. He wants to be on fire for him in order to have that level of passion that's required of us if we're going to be submitting to the Lord's will for our lives. But something that is needful for us to have this zeal that is appropriate for serving God faithfully is to be spiritually minded. And this is something that's really at the heart of pretty well all of the things that we're looking at here today as we think about the kind of character God wants us to have. It's imperative that we develop this spiritual mindedness. One of the passages that brings out our need to be spiritually minded is over in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 2, the King James Version says in that verse, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. The World English Bible says, set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. And so you think about this word, whether it's affection, whether it's mind, the point is what we're focused on foremost in life, what our primary focus and aim and goal and hopes are in life, we should be foremost focused on serving God, being spiritually minded rather than carnally minded, thinking about the things of God rather than being distracted by being consumed with thoughts of a temporal nature. We should be foremost focused on spiritual things. And that spiritual mindedness, there's a lot more we could touch on with that, but that spiritual mindedness is so imperative for us to have really all of these character traits that we're looking at here today. But something else that we see in Scripture is really a fruit of being spiritually minded leads us into our next point, and that is having the inward peace that God wants us to have. Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, when the Apostle Paul spoke about some of the sufferings that he faced as a servant of Christ, he touched on how it was that he was able to endure through all of these sufferings and how it was that he was able to have the determination to move forward and still have a sense of joy and peace and just be content in the face of all of these things he was suffering. And he pointed out there at the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18, he said, "While we don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." In other words, we are focused not just on the here and now. We're not just focused on what we can get out of life here on earth, but we are focused upon eternity. We're focused upon spiritual things and not just material things. And this focus that the Apostle Paul had helped him to be anchored through the sufferings that he faced. But that's a good lead into this point about having this peace and this joy that we now want to touch on, because if we're going to have the peace and joy that not only probably all of us want to have in our lives, but also that God wants us to have in our lives, it's imperative that we develop this spiritual mindedness that we see exemplified in individuals like the Apostle Paul. But you notice there in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 15, it mentions there in that verse, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to the which also you were called in one body, and be ye thankful." This is the American Standard Version that is up on the screen. The King James Version says "peace of God" there instead of "peace of Christ," which really, regardless of whether it's talking about God the Father or God the Son, the point is the same, that this peace that God allows us to have through His Son is to rule in our hearts. And we touched this morning on how we are to be seeking peace with others when that's possible, but there's also a sense in which God wants us to have peace that is an inward peace. It's a tranquility, we might say. It's a peace of mind, as we often hear the phrase used today, and that's something that God wants to be a part of our character as well. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 is probably the most well-known passage in terms of emphasizing this principle, where Paul talked to the Philippian brethren about the need to go to God in prayer when faced with trials, and how the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus when we do so. And so the point here is that if we develop this spiritual mindedness, if we're focused on eternal things and not just temporal things, if we're casting our cares on God when faced with difficulties, we not only can but should develop this inward peace that is to rule in our hearts. That is another key part of our character. But something else that ties in closely with this peace that we are to have within ourselves is another character trait that we want to touch on, and that is being joyful. Over in Philippians chapter 4, just a few verses before, the Apostle Paul touched on the need to cast our cares on God when focused or when faced with troubles, and to seek His help in order to have this peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Just a few verses before that, in Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 4, the inspired apostle there says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." This is such a key theme of this short book of Philippians. Joy, joy, joy is talked about over and over again in this short book. And it's amazing as we consider not only the importance of joy is brought out in this book, but especially when we consider the circumstances that Paul was in as he wrote this, facing imprisonment, facing a lot of uncertainties about his future, but he was able to emphasize this joy because, again, he was spiritually minded, he was focused upon God. He recognized that even in the midst of all of these trials, if he would lean upon the Lord, he could still have this sense of joy. And something else that's real key to Paul's joy that we see brought out strongly in the book of Philippians, that is a final character trait we want to touch on this afternoon, is the need for us to be grateful individuals. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 is the passage there where it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ towards you." And that's touched on in the passage up on the screen in Colossians 3:15 as well. Be ye thankful. And so there's this need for us to be grateful individuals. And it's so interesting. We can think just practically speaking, and probably we can connect the dots between gratitude and joy, or gratitude and peace, how gratitude is so important if we're going to be joyful individuals. But it's interesting when we look at the original Greek words used in Scripture, four words like thanks and joy and rejoice, there's a close connection between gratitude and joy. The Greek word that is typically translated as grace, it's translated a few times as thanks, such as in 1 Corinthians 15:57. That word comes from the Greek word translated rejoice in Philippians 4 and verse 4. And I point that out to help us to see that not only can we make just a practical connection between gratitude and joy just when thinking it through, but Scripture, when we look at the original words used in Scripture, there is a close connection between the themes of thanksgiving and joy, and we could even say thanksgiving and peace as well, although it's not as direct, but there certainly is a need for us to be grateful individuals if we're going to be full of joy and full of peace. If we are individuals who are just constantly focused upon our trials, upon all the things that we wish were different in life, then we're going to have a real hard time being joyful individuals because we're just constantly focused on the negative rather than the positive. But if we're constantly thinking about our blessings, counting our blessings as we sometimes sing, if that's where our mind is at, if we're constantly thanking God for the wonderful blessings that He's granted us that we don't deserve, it's going to be hard not to be led to have that joyful heart that God wants us to have. And so gratitude is something that is a final character trait that is really important for us to have as well. And so as we draw this lesson to a close, I just want to point out four things that are keys to developing and growing in this character in the way that we should. And one thing that we want to note about growing and developing in character that is really important is to recognize that it's something that doesn't happen just automatically. It's something that takes diligence. If we're going to be growing as we should, it's something that we're going to have to pursue deliberately. And 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5 really hits this nail on the head when it says there at the beginning of that verse, beside all this, give diligence, giving all diligence. I think it's how the King James renders it. And then he goes on to say, add to your faith virtue and virtue knowledge. But he says they're giving all diligence. In other words, don't just think that we're going to develop in virtue and knowledge and self-control and in brotherly love and in charity and kindness and all these things. Don't just think we're going to grow in these areas if we just put our lives on autopilot and expect ourselves to just somehow develop into the kind of people God wants. Instead, he says, giving all diligence. We need to purpose. We need to deliberately pursue the kind of character that God tells us he wants us to have. And some specific things that are involved in giving diligence to this. One thing that we can see throughout Scripture that's a key part of developing and growing as God desires is the need for us to be consistently spending time in the Word of God. Over in Acts 20 and verse 32, As the Apostle Paul there was addressing the Ephesian elders, he told them there in that verse, "Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which he says is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all them that are sanctified." He doesn't say the word of God will just miraculously build you up without you having to do anything, but he says the word of God is able to build you up if we will pursue the spiritual nourishment that the word of God provides. Then the word has the power to build us up and help us to become more and more like what God wants us to be. So it's imperative for us to be consistently spending time in the word of God, that as we consistently spend time in the word of God, it is important for us to do so with sincere self-examination, looking at ourselves and asking, how am I doing in this area? What changes do I need to make? How can I do better here? How does this apply to my circumstances here? And sincerely thinking about, for instance, self-control, and thinking about different situations we find ourselves in, and thinking, if I'm someone who has self-control, how will that be manifested in this situation? How should I handle this situation? And as we strive to do this, taking it day by day, just striving to concentrate on developing this character while we examine ourselves honestly and sincerely, that will help us so much to grow into the kind of people God wants us to be. And that's alluded to there in 2 Corinthians 13:5, where it talks about examining ourselves, whether we be in the faith. And then one other point to make that is a real key in helping us develop character as well is the need to go to God in prayer and ask for his help with all of these efforts as we strive to grow. Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11 is the prayer where Paul was pointing out what he was praying on behalf of the Philippian brethren. And it's interesting, as you look through that prayer, he talks about his prayer that they grow in knowledge and all discernment, that their love abound more and more, that they approve things excellent, that they're sincere and without offense, filled with the fruits of righteousness. These are things that all have to do with developing a kind of character that pleases God. But notice he says, not just this is a character you should put on, he says, this I pray at the beginning of verse 9. This was his prayer for the Philippian brethren. And so he never, to my knowledge, comes out and tells us that if we want to grow in character, we need to pray to God and ask him to help us. But we see several instances in Scripture where we have prayers made to God asking for help in things that relate to one's character, such as this passage here in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And so it is evident that if we want to grow in the way that we should, it certainly is beneficial for us to go to God in prayer and ask for his help with that. And so as we put all this together, we might ask the same question that we asked this morning, but related to these character traits we've looked at this afternoon. Each one of us can and should look at ourselves and ask these questions. Am I steadfast in the truth? Am I someone who has the courage to stand for what I know is right? Am I someone who is patient, as the Bible talks about? And am I someone who fully trusts the Lord? Am I someone who is faithful? Am I someone who is honest? Am I someone who is sincere? Am I someone who is repentant? Am I someone who is zealous for good works? Am I someone who is spiritually minded? Am I someone who is full of that inner peace that God says should rule my heart? Am I someone who is full of joy? Am I someone who is grateful? These and other characteristics that God tells us we should have are things that we should examine ourselves concerning, asking, have I developed this character as I should? And even if we're someone who's been a Christian for decades and we've worked on these things, been working on these things, these are things that we can and should be continuously growing and developing in, just as Paul prayed for the Philippian brethren, that their love abound more and more. It's something that he pointed out there, we can never have too much of. We can never have too much love. We can never have too much humility. We can never have too much meekness and selflessness and all these other things. If they are properly directed, as the Bible teaches, they're things that we can always be growing and developing in. And I hope that this lesson has helped us to better understand some of these specific character traits that we've looked at and better understand how we can develop the kind of character that God wants us to have. There might be some here this afternoon who aren't yet Christians, and you've seen once again this afternoon that this is something that is not to be taken lightly. Being a Christian is not just a one-time event, but it's something that demands us to surrender our lives completely to God and change in all the ways that He commands of us. And it might seem overwhelming, but God is there to help us if we are striving to serve Him to the best of our ability. He doesn't ever expect anything more out of us than our best. He doesn't expect us to do anything that we don't have the ability to do. But we do have to do our very best to surrender our lives to the will of God. And it is something that takes a lot of effort, but it's something that is more than worth it. And really, that's an understatement when we just think about all the blessings that come to those who are faithful to the Lord. When we think even about the blessings that come during our time here on this earth, when we think about the joy and the peace and the hope that we can have even during our brief stay here on earth, and then we think ultimately about the eternal reward that we can have in heaven if we're faithful, it is much more than worth it to make the sacrifices needed in order to be pleasing to God. And we'd encourage you, if you're not yet a Christian, to make the choice to become one before you leave here this afternoon. In order to be a New Testament Christian, we see taught in the New Testament that one must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. One must be ready to confess that, as the Ethiopian eunuch did, determined to repent of his or her sins, turning away from sin and turning fully to God, and then be buried in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins, to then arise to walk in newness of life, beginning that Christian race, beginning that walk with God, and from that moment forward being someone who is always striving to live a faithful life as best as we can to thus be right with God. And we'd encourage you to begin that walk if you haven't yet done so and you have the desire here this afternoon. If you're someone who is a Christian who needs the prayers of the congregation, we can help you with that as well. In either case, we'd encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing.